Today on Season 3, Episode 78 of the Unknown Packers Podcast, it was a short trip to Chicago, but the Packers took care of business and wrapped up the number one seed throughout the NFC playoffs. Rodgers all but cemented the MVP award, Tay brings home some new hardware of his own, and we celebrate an unsung hero of the offense. We have listener questions, fill in the blank, and a bye week to contemplate. Packers are playing the most complete football of the season, so what could possibly give the fellas pause? Listen in and find out. And now it's time for 13-3 on tap.
This is Green Bay, Green Bay.
Thank you so much for following the Unknown Packers podcast.
Touchdown! Dagger! Al Harris, 56 yards to a game-winning touchdown! Green Bay Packers!
Go, Pat, go!
Running isn't everything, but it's the only thing.
Green and yellow, green and yellow, green and yellow, green and yellow.
Packers podcast.
Green and yellow, green and yellow, green and yellow, green and yellow.
And let me tell you this, Green Bay is a great town.
This is Green Bay, Green Bay,
Green Bay, Green Bay. And welcome to the Unknown Packers podcast for 13-3 on tap. The Packers are the number one seed in the NFC. Ooh, that feels good. 13-3 on tap. I am Bryce Christensen, and I am with Big Bad Ken Ingles. How are you doing after this 35-16 win over the Chicago Bears in Week 17?
Man, oh man, I'm feeling good, Bryce. Number one seed, 13-3 again.
Again.
And it always feels good when it's a victory over the Bears, right?
Sure.
And the fact that getting in and locking up, I shouldn't say getting in, but locking up home field advantage and that coveted first round bye over the Bears makes it that much more sweeter, my friend.
I agree. And we're going to talk about that first round bye in the second half with listener questions. We got some fill in the blank questions and then we'll wrap up with some playoff talk. But first and foremost, let's break down this Packers game. Of course, in this first half, we're going to throw out some game balls, but this was a pretty huge game considering that David Bakhtiari went down with an injury in practice, a non-padded practice,
oof,
on Thursday, New Year's Eve. One last middle finger for 2020 to wave around. And I was gutted after, I mean, I'm sure you were too, after the news. And part of me was thinking like, okay, the Packers lost Ken Ruckers during Super Bowl 31. They lost Mark Tauscher,
right,
in 2010. And I started thinking like, well, you know, Billy Turner stepped in, all that other stuff. I think it'll be okay. But that was the biggest dagger, and what a worse timing to have. But the Packers didn't seem like they lost a beat at all with losing David Bakhtiari, which is pretty crazy when he's arguably the best left tackle in the game. What did you notice from that offensive line? Well, first and foremost, how were you feeling after the huge news of David Bakhtiari injuring his ACL and being done for the season?
You know, it's one of those things where you double check the source when you see it come across Twitter, where you're like, okay, is this the real Adam Schefter, or is this like the Adam Schefter with like some vowels,
the,
you know, in different spots, right? Yeah. Making sure that the blue check mark is there, right? And just like a pit of your stomach, like, oh my gosh. But yeah, the way that they played, offensive line solid, Billy Turner stepping up again, having a weapon, I'm going to call him a weapon like Billy Turner and Elgton Jenkins on this line that you can just basically flip-flop all over the place and fill in anywhere you need is huge. It's absolutely huge. And you look at a guy, Billy Turner, who, what, he was out the first two weeks of the season. He was out. I believe he was like coming off a little bit of an injury, inactive. Mm-hmm. Since then, he's played every single snap except for like a handful in San Francisco. And it's just been that old reliable, you know, coming in right guard, right tackle, left tackle. I don't think he played left guard this year. And no one's asking him to play center because we got too many of those guys already. But came up big, you know, in the line overall.
Mm-hmm.
Giving up one sack. Khalil Mack.
Yep.
Rob Demoski had an interesting stat on him saying that was actually Mack's first sack against Rodgers and the Packers since 2018 week 15.
Oh, wild. Really?
Yeah. He hadn't had any sacks in the last three games against the Packers. And, you know, when a team trades two first round picks plus for a guy, you tend to want to have that guy be a field tilter against your division rival, your foe, your hated foe, and coming up blank for three games in a row prior to this one feels good.
You would think, and I wasn't expecting to right off the bat talk about game balls, but since we're talking about Billy Turner, he gets the first game ball just because of how well he played. I think he had one blemish. I think it was a hold. Outside of that, and the sack that was credited to Mac was actually Rogers' fault, believe it or not. It wasn't due to any sort of blown responsibilities on that offensive line. But to think that you lose your left tackle and you get a guy that comes in, Billy Turner, I know that there was talk about Big E, Elton Jenkins, maybe swinging over to left tackle, but I like the setup that they had. Right tackle, Wagner, Patrick, right guard, Lindsley, Big E, and then Billy Turner. But replacing your all-pro, arguably the best left tackle in the game, who had just signed that mega contract, those are lofty.
Right.
Those are lofty goals. Those are big shoes to fill. He's done it in the past, but this was also a guy that many people called to have cut in training camp. So for a guy to come out, play arguably the second most important position in the NFL next to quarterback, not even skip a beat, that bodes well, really, really well. Any other team that loses their left tackle, you're done. And granted, I went through my stages of grief, as did Aaron Rodgers, as did Coach LaFleur, as well as the rest of the Packers team and organization. But I tell you what, this team definitely has a chip on its shoulder. It has a chip on its shoulder even more so now, losing their stud left tackle. But I thought the first game ball had to go with Billy Turner. I wasn't planning on unveiling that right off the bat, but that's the thing that you want to talk about is this offensive line. How are they going to fare? And didn't even skip a beat. And I'm excited to see what happens moving forward. That line has just been, maybe you get dominant to the entire offensive line, but what they've done reshuffling, it's impressive. But Billy Turner, for a guy that was sort of mocked at for that four-year, what, $28 million deal, come from the Broncos out of the Big Four from Brian Gutekunst, a guy that, hey, maybe we cut him, maybe we save some money. He's really silencing those naysayers and critics.
It's looking like a value signing at this point.
Oh, nice. I like that.
Right.
You know that's going through your mind, the value, the money.
Oh, absolutely. And then you talk about this line too, like Lane Taylor. Remember, he was your opening day starter, gone on IR. Corey Lindsley spent time on IR. Bakhtiari, obviously on IR now. He missed some games in the middle of the season as well. And the fact that this line is, aren't they ranked? They have to be ranked number one at this point in the league in terms of like their efficiency and their run. What, pass block win rate, one run block win rate, all those things, just jumping off the charts and just been dominant. And yeah, you say it, like you get a guy who is an all pro, just done for the offseason, see you next year, and the team step up around it. It's just phenomenal to see.
And I mean, everyone's grooving, they're humming. And Thursday in a non-padded practice, he goes down on New Year's Eve, a few days before they square off against the Bears. A Bears, that team that was, what, putting up 36 points in the last 5 weeks. Trubisky was, quote-unquote, having some sort of resurgence, if you will. David Montgomery was teeing off for 100 yards plus week in, week out. This team wanted to beat Green Bay. And for a while, it looked like it was the Chicago Bears game. It looked like if you would have asked Coach Nagy, how about this? You're going to run 30 more plays than the Green Bay Packers. You're going to outgain the Packers by 40 yards, and you're going to have the ball for 11 more minutes. I would like to think that Coach Nagy would say, all right, we came away with a victory. But instead, they lost by 3 scores. This just shows leaps and bounds that this team is head and shoulders better than the Chicago Bears and quite arguably the best team in the NFL. We've been talking about this is a special, special season. That lull in the third quarter, which sort of rears its ugly head, it seems sort of on a regular basis outside of the Tennessee Titans game. Fourth quarter, Packers get right back on track, and then they win 35-16. It's crazy to think that even in the second half that they struggled, they still put up 30 in a blink of an eye. Like, no problem against a team that was hungry, that surprisingly still lost the Chicago Bears and made the playoffs 8-8 with the 7 seed, but their playoff hopes were on the line. It seemed like the Bears' playoff hopes were all but destroyed because of the Green Bay Packers, and they sneak in because of the Cardinals and Rams, Cardinals losing. But if you would have showed that to me now and said, hey, do you think the Packers or the Bears would have won? I think the Bears would have won. So it's those little things that keep sort of popping up that show that this team has the grit and resilience and the resolve to do anything. This is a championship caliber team.
Well, it comes down to, you know, you talked about the time of possession, really, that like jumps off the page at you and running more plays. Well, it comes down to turnovers and taking care of the ball.
Right.
Yeah, Tavon had that terrible fumble on that punt return. Mm-hmm. But luckily, that only resulted in a field goal. But then let's talk the other side. You know, Jair forced a fumble on Kmet and Gary recovered that.
Right.
And then Amos with the big interception, leading to Davante Adams, another touchdown. Again, you know, just can basically carve it in stone. Every week, Devontae's going to grab another TD. But turnovers and the offense taking care of the ball, for the most part, is what's going to hopefully separate this team from the competition come playoff time. Like I said, they're lucky, very lucky that the defense was able to get that awesome defensive stand after fumbling on that punt return inside deep in Packers territory. But man, you know, Rodgers again, not turning the ball over, efficient. If there's a word to describe Aaron Rodgers' MVP season, by the way, future MVP, spoiler alert, it's efficient. And he might not be putting up the gaudy yards like he maybe have in years past, but the efficiency and the taking care of the ball, not turning it over, and just embarrassingly high numbers in the touchdown category. It's just unreal what this team can do when it's humming on all cylinders.
And just think, I mean, I don't think we're talking about this enough, about the virtual offseason and the COVID training camp, COVID NFL season. There's a lot of stress, a lot of anxiety, a lot of little things that they have to do outside of practicing and playing football. And he's 37 years old. This is pretty crazy. I mean, needless to say, this is funny, Ken. We talked about this last week. Hey, we don't want to give game balls to Aaron Rodgers and Davante Adams week in and week out because of their gaudy stat lines. Well, guess what? We're giving a second game ball to Aaron Rodgers because he solidified his third MVP, no doubt about it. Even though Mahomes didn't play in Week 17 for the Chiefs, Rodgers came out 19 of 24, 240 yards, 4 touchdowns, a 147.9 passer rating. And what's crazy in that first half, he was 10 of 10, 155 and 3 touchdowns with a perfect passer rating in the first half. Finishes the regular season with 48 touchdown passes, a new franchise record, breaking his own mark of 45 set back in 2011, the last time the Green Bay Packers were the number one seed. It's pretty crazy to think that when you think about those 48 touchdowns, what's even more impressive is the goal-to-goal situations. He had 3 touchdowns against the Bears. He has a total of 28, which leads the NFL in the season with goal-to-goal touchdowns. What more can you say about a guy that I feel year in and year out gets pecked incessantly, whether it's Packer fans, whether it's other prognosticators, beat reporters, what have you. But not only do the Packers trade up and select Jordan Love, the heir apparent to Aaron Rodgers, the future quarterback for the Green Bay Packers, he comes out and says that he's living life, he's loving life, he's calm, he's accepted things that are out of his control on top of this whole crazy OTAs, training camp. And this is the stat line that he puts up, 37 years old. This is not normal. I know Tom Brady has set up some sort of trajectory where you think, oh, you know, Tom Brady's done it, Drew Brees has done it, so Aaron Rodgers, 37. Okay, this is not normal. This is abnormal. And
right.
Outside of, I mean, you look at last year, Rodgers struggled. Granted, first-year coach, first year in the new system, but they were a prime regression candidate. No one thought that the Packers would win 13 games. No one thought that the Packers would probably make the playoffs. They were a popular playoff snub with a lot of those like preseason predictions. But there you have it, the cowboy, the bad man, Aaron Rodgers. What did you think of his performance against the Chicago Bears?
Just insane. That first half was crazy, where he was leading with that perfect pass rating, as you mentioned, and three touchdowns. Domoski had another headline that I snagged here, that he now has, Rodgers had three touchdown passes for the 12th time this season, and he's done it in the first half for the 7th time.
Crazy.
That's insane. Crazy. That's insane. Zach Cruz had some stats. Rodgers is now finished first in the NFL by basically any meaningful stat that you can think of. Completion percent, passing touchdowns, touchdown percentage, interception percentage, passer rating, QBR, adjusted net yards average, and PFF grade. Just off the top. But my favorite, one of my favorite ones I saw, and this is coming from Derek Carragher from Ireland, my boy over there.
Yep.
He put some stats out talking about Aaron Rodgers in 2016 during the run the table weeks 12 through 17, had just eye-popping numbers. 71% completion percentage, 1,600-plus yards, 15 touchdowns, and a 121 passer rating. In 2020, he exceeded all of those except for yards. So slightly less yards, going from 1,600-plus to 1,400-plus. Mm-hmm. But everything else he exceeded. 133.1 passer rating during that time. And Packer fans, Packer Nation, looks back fondly on the run the table year as some of the best quarterback play that we've ever seen.
Yep.
Out of Aaron Rodgers, out of any quarterback. And then you look at the stats and you're like, this guy just calmly, consistently, just completely surpassed that this year and on his way to his, like I said earlier, his third MVP.
Well, it's pretty crazy. Winning the hardware in what, 2011, 2014. The only players in league history to win the MVP at least three times are Jim Brown, 3, Favre, 3, Unitas, 3, Tom Brady, 3, and Peyton Manning, 5. Going into this season, did you think that Rodgers could win the MVP?
No.
Right? Me too.
No. I thought he would have a better year.
Same.
We talked about that, I'm sure. I know we did earlier in the season where, you know, year two, the floor system, getting more comfortable. You saw what Matt Ryan did in Atlanta when the floor was there in his second year, getting comfortable. That was his MVP season. I thought he would be better. I thought he'd be more efficient, more comfortable, not having to use the wristband as much. But nice. These numbers are just, it's transformative what he's been able to do this season compared to what he was coming off the prior two.
I mean, when you look at the Bears, Rodgers scored his 54th touchdown. Favre threw for 60 against the Bears. 53 of those coming while with Green Bay. We won't mention the rest. Packers scored 76 points in those two games against the Bears this season. Rodgers had 8 touchdowns and 0 interceptions. I mean, for Chicago Bear fans, I wonder what was going through their head the first half. I was more than pleased to see what Rodgers was doing in the first half. You know, I did that solo first half. And then we had Brad Spielberger on a Pro Football Focus. I had a weird feeling about this Bears game. I just thought that there was a lot of things that aligned in Chicago's favor. Right. Granted, I think I would have felt better if the stadium was packed with fans. Again, I keep thinking about, like, wow, number one seed, last time since 2011. It's crazy to think that Green Bay is missing out on, like, this season in terms of celebrating with fans inside of Lambeau, outside of Lambeau, all the restaurants, bars, tailgating. I can't help but think week in and week out, and it's going to continue. That doesn't take away from the shine of what we're experiencing right now, especially when the whole focal point was Jordan Love, Aaron Rodgers. Are they going to get along in the offseason or during the virtual offseason training camp? All this blah, 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 blah. And it's so impressive for Rodgers just to remove that from his mindset, from his headspace, and focus. It's really impressive to see. Not only that, I'm surprised more people are not talking about head coach LaFleur for coach of the year.
Coach of the year.
What he's done. We haven't even talked about Davante Adams and what he did. I've got a question that I will be throwing out in the second half, but Davante catching 6 passes, 46 yards and a score, his 115 receptions broke Sterling Sharpe's team record of 112, and he also tied Sterling Sharpe's mark of 18 touchdowns in one season. And again, mentioning this, missing 2.5 games. It's crazy to think if he doesn't miss those 2.5 games.
That's the crazy part. The guy didn't even play a full season. Mm-hmm. He didn't even play 14 games. And he's still just putting up those gaudy numbers
right.
at the wide receiver position. Wide receiver one, all pro.
I mean, and things that aren't going to show up in the stat line, when you look at Dominique Daphne, who scored that touchdown, Davante Adams was the one that made that play happen. The safety and then the slot corner were all fixated on Davante Adams. They were not going to let him get the football, and that allowed Dominique Daphne to be wide open for that score. So it's those things that don't show up in the stat line, and that's going to continue. You're going to try to isolate or neutralize Davante Adams. Big Bob Tonyan's going to score a touchdown. Try to neutralize him. Oh, who's this guy? Dominique Daphne? Maybe we should, Sycamore 2.0, another Indiana State alum. Pretty impressive to see. He's a special guy, too. I thought that might have been the best sequence of the game, where he scored that touchdown, and then on the following kickoff, he was the one that made this like torpedo tackle on special teams. He also set up a beautiful block on Aaron Jones' 17-yard run. I think that was in the fourth quarter. But you're looking at all these different contributors on this team. I said it earlier in the season. I felt like this was a very special team, special season. You had the little hiccup with the Indianapolis Colts. Since then, though, they have not lost. They've been undefeated. In December, 26-6 for head coach LaFleur. Check this out. In 2019, they scored 376 points, and they allowed 313. 2020, 509 points scored, 369 allowed. A plus 140 differential.
Jeez.
So this defense is a little bit better. They'll let...
They're a top 10. They're a top 10 defense to end the season. They're ascending when you need them to, right? And if there's a time for this defense to be on the rise, I know people get upset about their bend but don't break and playing soft coverage, but you can't really argue with the results. They're winning games. They held the Bears to 16 points, and they had a fumble inside of Green Bay, like deep inside of Green Bay territory. Like, that's impressive, especially considering what they were able to do for three or four games leading up to facing off the Packers.
Well, I think that's a great way to wrap up the first half. Packers win 35-16, the number one seed in the NFC. We're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back with fan questions, fill in the blank, and talking playoffs. Go Pack, go.
This episode is brought to you by Sonic Transformation. Check us out at www.sonictransformation.com. Sonic Transformation, your sound refined.
Go Pack, go! And we are back for the second half of 13-3 on tap. And the moment you all been waiting for, we've got fan questions. We've got two of them. And first off, at Benny James Fink, how concerned should we be with how poorly we have played out of bye weeks the last 2 years under head coach LaFleur? You want me to take it? You take it?
I'll start this one off.
All right.
Well, so it's definitely a pattern, right? But let's look at, I guess, the sample size when I think about this. So we had last year, coming off the regular season bye, we got our ass kicked against San Fran, 37-8.
Mm-hmm.
But then we also had a first round bye in the playoffs last year, and right. we beat the Seahawks at home.
Mm, I like that.
And then let's go to 2020 under LaFleur. We play Tampa Bay coming off a bye in week 5, and we lose 38-10. Again, an ass kicking. So, you know, it 2 out of 3, not very good showings, poor showings, kind of embarrassing losses, where the offense really couldn't figure things out and the defense really was porous and not really able to inflict their will on the quarterback or to affect the game in any meaningful way. But at the same time, I do not subscribe to the notion of this team should not want a first round bye. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of talk leading up. Should they want like the number 2 seed or number 3 seed? Maybe that would even be better because then they don't have that bye. And we've talked about that in past.
I had that mindset earlier on.
Yeah, episodes. It's like, well, no. Think about this team last had a break in week 5.
Yeah.
It's now week 17, heading into week 18. Granted, there was no real physical offseason and preseason, but still, like, you need guys to get healthy. At this point of the year, no one's healthy.
Right.
These guys are banged up, and having that rest and one less opponent to have to worry about and game plan and shift focus and learning and just being able to have a few extra days off. I think what the Packers announced, they're going to be practicing Thursday, Friday this week.
Okay.
Starting film on Wednesday. So they're taking 2 solid days off.
That's going to be huge.
And then getting back and then understanding who they're going to be potentially facing and getting ready. I think it's definitely a pattern. And we've seen that too. I forget which game it was too, where we kind of had that mini bye week coming off of a short week. And they also were not playing very well. And they got off to a super slow start. So it's definitely a pattern. But is it concerning? Yes. But do I think that this team will allow themselves in the postseason with everything on the line to come out flat? I really hope not. I really, really hope not. What are your thoughts on this one, Bryce?
Yeah, I really like this question. And we got a ton of fan questions that were submitted after your tweet. And so thank you for all that have submitted. And we'll definitely, I know Ken answered a lot of the questions via Twitter for the ones that we didn't select, but we love these fan questions. And so this one caught my eye because I think it's applicable, obviously, with the playoffs right around the horizon. But Packers lost to Tampa Bay 38-10 right out of the bye after going 4-0 to start the season. They lost to San Francisco after their bye in week 11, 37-8. And then they sort of struggled in December, beating the Giants, beating the Redskins. And I had mentioned that the Packers probably should not have a bye because of their struggles, but I changed that tune, and a lot of it was what you just said. So I'm going to piggyback off of that, that they have not had a bye in a really, really long time. They're all banged up. And I think the biggest thing is that everyone's going to have to come to Lambeau. And I really like what Davante Adams said, where he goes, and I'm paraphrasing, but he said, you can do whatever you want to do in pregame. You can take off your shirt. You can run around the stadium, but it's a beast to play at Lambeau. And I think that no one wants to come to Green Bay on top of this prolific offense, MVP Aaron Rodgers, this really well-coached and what we think coach of the year and Coach LaFleur. But the Packers have won 6 straight since losing to the Colts. They're 5-0 in December. They're 6-1 at home. They're 12-2 at home under LaFleur. 1 loss to the Eagles last year and 1 loss to the Vikings. They're tough to beat at home. That Eagles game was sort of an anomaly. They lost Davante Adams in that game. The Vikings game, I felt like, was also another anomaly. I think, you know, no fans, playing a rival, Dalvin Cook cooked us essentially. So I think that when you're possibly looking at the playoffs, who's going to come to Green Bay, you're looking at New Orleans, you're looking at Tampa Bay, warm weather teams. So I think that you get rested, and I just look at what Coach LaFleur said against the Tennessee Titans game. This is a playoff game. Against the Chicago Bears, this is a playoff game. They've been playing playoff football for the last couple weeks. That's what their mindset is. So I've changed my tune. The only reason is that they're a well-oiled machine right now. They are a good team. They know how to win. And teams can do whatever they want. They can throw whatever they want at the Green Bay Packers. And look at what the Bears did. I felt like they played a good game. And the Packers just slowly stretched that game to 35-16. 3 scores. I think that's what they do. It's a slow, painful death is what Aaron Rodgers and Coach LaFleur do with the Green Bay Packers. And then you have this ascending defense. This is a different team coming out of the bye against Tampa Bay. This is a different team than they were last year, where they were in a lot of one-score games that they were able to prevail. And then they got into the playoffs after barely beating the Detroit Lions. They needed that bye. This is a different team. So I feel really good to go. Lambeau mystique, Coach LaFleur, MVP Aaron Rodgers. There's just too many boxes that are getting checked for me to think elsewise.
Yeah, man, that's a great answer. I'll tell you what though. I've never been more excited to not have Packers football on a weekend.
I'm looking forward to it too.
that one seed, the new playoff format, mm-hmm. only having one team getting that on in each conference, having that advantage mm-hmm. of a first round bye, getting to heal up and watch now three games right. on Saturday, three games on Sunday. Should be a good weekend. And then hopefully we'll have what we need in terms of scouting to crush the opponent come divisional week.
I'm looking forward. I mean, this is year one with you and me, and I'm looking forward to doing a playoff episode with you as well. And this has been a fun season so far, co-hosting with you week in and
digging
week
it.
Out. And it's just been a special season all around for the Unknown Packers podcast, for the Green Bay Packers. And so I can't help but contain my excitement for the team. There is, though, one little blemish, and that's why I picked out this this second question from at Sweeter, Sweeter. What needs to be done on special teams to improve? Outside looking in, that seems to be a weakness. I'll take this, Ken, real quick.
Sure.
And I've mentioned this sort of week in, week out. The blemishes, we've talked about the blemishes, little hiccups here and there. Since the Houston game, they've been god-awful. I mean, abysmal. And you saw it again in the Chicago game. You had the opening kickoff that went out of bounds, giving Chicago offense a short field around the 40. Coach LaFleur challenged it, lost a timeout. It had that feel, like you mentioned last week, where Tennessee crept back in. It was 19-14. It had that feel. And I sort of felt like, oh boy, right off the bat, okay, this is why I had this weird pit in my stomach all week. And then on the following kick return, they barely reached the 20-yard line. You have Tavon Austin's fumble, which led to 3 points, which you had mentioned. Of Chicago's 16 points, 10 were really helped by the Packers' special teams.
Mm-hmm.
I will say this, though, kind of like Marquez Valdes-Scantling. You know what you have. You just do. You know that he's going to make some highlight reel speed demon touchdown, and then he's going to, you know, drop a pass. I think the special teams, you know what you have. I don't think anything's going to change, really. When you look at teams around the NFL, you look at teams in recent memory, look at the Kansas City Chiefs. They were not, from top to bottom, great at everything.
Nope.
You know, they got hot at the right time. The Green Bay Packers are getting hot at the right time. You get a week bye. I think you already know what is to be expected with the special teams. I think that Tavon Austin signing was trying to reverse the curse of what they've been experiencing so far. I mean, this has been year in and year out where we've just had very poor special teams play. But I say this for some reason, granted different ages of when they were signed, I got this Desmond Howard sort of premonition when we signed Tavon Austin. So I'm throwing it out there in the universe that I think Tavon Austin makes a big play in the playoffs.
Special teams due. Way. He's due, especially after that fumble this game that could have really
damaged, sure.
You know, put up even more damage. But, you know, I think I took a little bit different spin on this, a little bit perspective. That's why I love these questions that we don't talk about them and we just kind of shoot from the hip here and we don't compare notes.
Mm-hmm.
I think at this point for this season, they kind of are what they are.
Right.
It's really hard on special teams. I don't know where I heard this, but I heard it this year where talking about how like a special teams coordinator's job is just terrible. And it's like trying to herd cats, right? Because you're dealing with bottom of the roster guys who week in and week out are not necessarily going to be a consistent batch of guys. And so you've got that bottom of the roster churn where maybe this week you've got six different guys that are supposed to be playing and active, then they're going to be contributing on special teams. And it completely changes from week to week. And just making sure you even get 11 guys on a field who can run down the field on kickoff coverage, who kind of half know what they're doing. And like, that's your job because you're dealing with so much inconsistency. But at the same time, that's not new, and that's, you know, that's the same last year, and so 2 years ago, 10 years ago, it's all the same.
Mm-hmm.
So then I started thinking about it. Well, who's this year's, like, core special teamers? You know, in years past, we had Jarrett Bush or a Jeff Janis, the people's hero, right, who were just kind of on every single kickoff or punt, you'd be like, oh, yep, Jarrett Bush made the tackle. Mm-hmm. Oh, Jeff Janis made the tackle. And kind of consistent, almost like these playmakers, right? Who their primary role on this roster is to play special teams. Mm-hmm. They're not the kicker. They're not the punter. They're not the long snapper, not the specialist, but they're the bottom of the depth chart guys, but they flash on special teams. And I don't know who that is this year. I know like Ty Summers is supposed to be that guy, but I don't see him really jumping off the page.
Or you know, stat sheet
or you know, or off the screen. I'm not seeing that. So ultimately, I think it comes down to you need a new voice leading that room. Like the message maybe is just not getting across very well. So maybe it's time for a new coordinator to be leading that room and maybe just finding a different way to communicate responsibilities or going about your business on a week in and week out basis. I'm not sure, but yeah, those are the two things. Who's our special teams ace? And then maybe a change at the top.
I think Daphne could be that guy.
Ooh, baby.
That tackle was something special, and especially after that touchdown too. I mean, he's got some juice. I know Oren Burks, he was actually partly responsible for that fumble because he let a Chicago Bears player just essentially just torpedo into Tavon Austin, get a fist or get an arm on that football, and that punched it loose. So that was actually Burks' responsibility to pick up that block. That's a great point that we've always had someone on special teams that has sort of always pitched in, like we could count on this type of player. I think Daphne could be that guy moving forward. But then again, maybe I'm drinking the post-game Kool-Aid of what Dominique Daphne brought to the table. I was not expecting that at all, and I've been thinking about him nonstop.
Well, yeah, it's you and your Indiana State players. Here's a stat I saw, unrelated to the special teams, but now that you're talking about Daphne again and your boy Tunyon.
I think I know this, by the way.
Yeah, Bill Huber put this out. According to Stathead, there have been 17 touchdowns by Indiana State players in NFL history.
Mm-hmm.
Tunyon has 13. Daphne has his one. And what, Venice Glenn has the other three? That name doesn't jump off the page to me, but you go.
Let's sign him. Bring him on. Team full of sycamores. I'm all for it. Let's get Larry Bird in here, too, while we're at it. Another Indiana State alum.
There you go.
You know, that's a great question, and I appreciate these fan questions, too, because it's another perspective, and it's something to tune into. Now that you've mentioned that, that's something that I'm going to keep an eye on, is who's that gunner? Who's that guy that's always going to pitch in, help out, like Janice, like Jared Bush? So awesome answer. I really like what you provided there. I agree with you too. I think Menenga's gone unless some sort of miraculous turnaround. But like you said, like I echoed as well, they are who they are. You already know what mm-hmm. you have. And I think the offense and the defense are what catapults this team to very lofty expectations, the number one seed, and we just have to kind of accept. My biggest concern is what happened to Tavon Austin happening at a critical time in the playoffs. That's something that
right.
it could rear its ugly head. But we're so well coached. I think that they now have this on tape with Tavon Austin coughing up the football. They have this. So part of me thinks that will be reinforced. That'll be emphasized in practice. But yeah, we've known this all season. We've known this for the last, what is it? Allen Rossum, Roel Preston, Desmond Howard. I mean, outside of that, I can't think of, it's just, we've always just lacked in the special teams department.
Right, right. I heard talk of maybe we need to throw Jamal Williams back there just to, he might not give you that explosive burst that maybe you're hoping for, that you that you had your premonition about in this playoffs. Mm-hmm. But maybe you just get the sure-handed guy who's going to make sure he doesn't calls the fair catch, make smart decisions, and holds onto the ball. Maybe that's what we need.
I dig it. Well, we're getting close to wrapping up 13-3 on tap. We've got fill-in-the-blank questions and quick playoff recap or predictions, snapshot, if you will, but you want me to start off with the fill-in-the-blank?
Yeah. Why don't you fire one at me first?
All right. So I've been, I've got a list that, and I know you have a running list as well of fill-in-the-blanks, and there's some that I just don't think are applicable. And we also got some fan questions too that, while they're great questions, they're more off-season questions. So please don't feel dismayed. We're not intentionally ignoring you. We will definitely address a lot of the salary cap questions. We just felt like with it being 13-3, number one seed, want to focus on right now. And so with that, with Davante Adams tying Sterling Sharp's record of touchdowns of 18 and also breaking his receptions record of 112, Davante Adams has 115 now. The best Packers wide receiver of all time is...
Oh, man. I'm going to think about this maybe differently than maybe you want me to.
It's still my answer.
And I'm going to answer it my way.
I'm a tabula rasa right now. Blank slate, baby.
It could, when everything's all said and done, it could be Davante.
Mm-hmm.
The way he's going, the trajectory he's on. Was he 27 years old right now?
Mm-hmm. That's crazy.
Dude's looking for another big contract or two.
Mm-hmm.
After this, what, you saw that Larry Fitzgerald just retired? How old is he now?
Is he 40?
He's like ancient, like 40, you know, 87. Like he's, I feel like he's been around like since the NFL formed. He's got nowhere to go but up, man. Mm-hmm. And if this, and you think about it too, I heard this on the radio. He didn't have an off season with Aaron Rodgers this year.
Mm-hmm.
This was just them gelling and getting on the same page during the course of the season. But the way he's going, how effortless it looks, how nobody seems to be able to cover him, even if he's being double, triple teamed. MVS, yes, you have to fear him because he can take the top off a defense.
Right.
So, okay, you're going to devote a safety there most times. You see what happens when you don't, right? Easy touchdown and dropped a second, almost touchdown. And, you know, Lazard's more of that possession guy. Like, Devontae's like, he's the main weapon, yet he still gets it done. Yep. And I think he could wind up in the hall next to your boy, Aaron Rodgers, when this is all done, wearing golden jackets. And he might get, you know, he might be the guy that the next generation is talking about when we're done with this.
What a beautiful answer. I love it.
If you were to think about this, you know, where's your mind going when you penciled that one in?
I mean, how can you not say Davante Adams? I mean, you think of Hudson for sure.
Well, yeah.
And Sterling Sharp, had he not had that spinal cord injury, I mean, his records were broken. You got Donald Driver. But when you're looking at all-around weapon, defenses already know that the Packers are going to feed him the ball, and he still gets open. Still scores touchdowns. He just does all the little things, and I think he wants to be great. And this is such a unbelievable season that you know that he's going to come back next year and want to do better. So I love that you mentioned the Hall of Fame, because to be honest, that thought didn't cross my mind right now until you mentioned that. But I think when it's all said and done, I don't know how you cannot, if he's only going to get better right from here.
I don't know if you saw that video that was on circling with Rodgers and Adams, where Davante got into the 99 club on Madden.
Oh yeah, that where there he's like, let's go to practice.
That's what made me think about the hall, because Rodgers mentioned that. He's like, when you're sitting in the hall someday.
Oh, nice.
And that's what got me thinking about it. So I'm with you with that. It's hard to think about that when players are playing and you're witnessing them in the moment. But you know, when Rodgers said that, it really got me thinking. So that's why I had that long pause. I was like, oh man, like I think it could be this guy that we're watching right now.
Great.
And we're spoiled watching him, but it's greatness. We're watching greatness.
Another incredible episode by you, Ken. You and your beautiful mind. You know, people talk about, I mean, obviously your salary cap prowess, but you are not just a jack of one trade, and you're not just a jack of all trades, master of none. You are a well-rounded, intelligent Packers fan, and I'm not just saying that because we co-host week in and week out, but I love your answers, and I thought that was incredible, and I'm gonna leave.
You flatter me, my friend.
I'm gonna leave, and I'm gonna ponder these things.
Well, I've got some questions for you, and I say questions because they are two.
Okay.
I've got two blanks, but it's really kind of one themed question.
Okay,
as we kind of pivot into playoff mode, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so two-parter. So the first part is, the NFC team that scares me the most is blank. And then the back half of that is, the AFC team I want to see in the Super Bowl is blank. a course that's assuming that the Packers make it there, who you want to see the Packers play off.
NFC?
Who scares you in the NFC? We've got the Saints.
Yeah.
You got the Seahawks. You got the football team. You got the Buccaneers, the Rams, and the Bears, and that's in their seeding order.
Maybe this isn't answering your question. I think the team that scares me is the Packers. I wonder if they can keep on churning like they are. I think the way that they are firing on all cylinders, they're tough to beat. And I look at this NFC, and granted, Tampa Bay teed off on us 38-10, but now they possibly have to come to Lambeau. I look at the Saints and their defense, but Breeze has been injured. I think Kamara, the way that Dalvin Cook ran all over us, and I'm going to say the Saints. I think their defense, and then with Alvin Kamara, Drew Brees, his last hurrah, he's going to hang up his cleats after this year. I'll say that. I think that they've got some weapons that could give the Green Bay Packers some problems. But then again, they have to play at Lambeau. So I feel good about our chances getting to the Super Bowl. Now, the AFC team.
Who do you want to see?
Who do I want? I want to see the Buffalo Bills. I want to see the Buffalo Bills in the Super Bowl. I think that when you're looking at two franchises, like fan bases, Bills Mafia, I love what McDermott's done. I love Brian Daboll, the offensive coordinator. He was a guy that I really wanted pegged as the Green Bay Packers head coach or someone to possibly interview. They've done a great job. They've got a really dangerous team. Personally, I would love to see a Mahomes and Rodgers Super Bowl, though. But right. Mahomes scares me. The whole, the lights aren't too bright for him, and no lead is too big for him to come back. But I would love to see a Buffalo Bills and Green Bay Packers Super Bowl. In terms of NFL sort of like history, and I think a Mahomes and Rodgers Super Bowl would be one for the ages, since we never really got a Brady and Rodgers or a Manning and Rodgers. So that's my answer.
Well, you mentioned the Brady and Rodgers. I think that that's probably our most likely
divisional
round opponent. And that's probably my answer is Tampa Bay, and not because of the Brady side, but because of the defensive side.
Yeah.
I think about this as, what's the Green Bay Packers identity? It's Aaron Rodgers and his efficiency on offense. What's the biggest threat to that? Disrupting the timing of Aaron Rodgers. And who have we seen be able to do that so far? Mm-hmm. It was Tampa Bay.
Yep.
The Rams maybe in there as well.
Yeah, Goff is hurt.
Yeah. Again, I'm not thinking about from the offensive side. I'm thinking about who can wreck Aaron Rodgers' day. And Aaron Donald is that guy.
Yep.
But, you mentioned the Chiefs as well. That I think that's my answer for who we want to see in the AFC. You know who really wants that is State Farm.
for sure.
They want to see the Rodgers rate versus the Patrick Price like you wouldn't believe. But, man, I think every single ad would be a State Farm ad, which would just be even more so than what it is now when we're watching in the regular season. But
right.
I echo you completely. My thought process was aiming at the Bills just because those two fan bases are insane.
I think that'd be a fun.
And that would be just fun and rowdy and just going back and forth leading up to it. But I'm angling at the Chiefs because it's one of those things. If you want to be the best, you got to beat the best. And right now they're the best. And Mahomes has been kind of on this throne for the past 2 years as that guy. And Rodgers is maybe coming back to take that crown back. So I think that'd be one hell of a matchup.
Ooh, I love that. As we wrap up 13-3, on tap, Packers winning 35-16. The NFC records against playoff teams this year: Packers are 4-2, Rams 4-2, Saints 3-2, Seahawks 2-2, Washington Football Team 1-4, the Buccaneers 1-5 against playoff teams, and the Bears 1-6. As Rodgers said to his teammates, now that they have the bye, don't get COVID. Don't get COVID. And taking care of themselves. They've spent all this time, all this hard work getting to this spot right now. Coach LaFleur said, quote, "We're going to have to be disciplined in our approach, take it day by day, and be responsible off the field as well, especially with everything that's going on in the world. We need everybody in that locker room to be at their very best, and the only way that can happen is if everyone is available. So we'll enjoy it tonight, after the Packers beat the Bears. Give the guys a couple days off and then get back at it. But this is the first seed since 2011. They lost to the eventual Super Bowl champion New York Giants 37-20. This is the ninth time in Packers playoff history to receive a first-round bye. I cannot wait to talk with you next week. Any last words before we bid adieu, Ken?
No, man. Like I said earlier, I am excited to not watch Packers football this weekend because that means we did it right. We're sitting at top on the top looking down at everyone else and just wait to see who we get to play the following week, my friend.
Well, there you have it. 13-3 on tap. Packers are the number one seed. Basking at Packer fans. This has been a special season. We all deserve this, and we are one step closer to taking back what is rightfully ours. I'm Bryce Christensen.
And I'm Ken Ingles.
And this is the Unknown Packers Podcast. Thank you so much for following the Unknown Packers Podcast. You can follow us on Twitter at Unknown Packers, as well as Facebook, Instagram, the Unknown Packers Podcast. You can check us out on our website, theunknownpackers.com, and a variety of different podcast platforms as well. You can also say, hey, Alexa, play the Unknown Packers Podcast. That's right. We're friends with Alexa. Go Pack, go.
This podcast was edited and produced by Sonic Transformation. Sonic Transformation. Your sound refined.